Fox News. West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin decides not to seek another term.
He called it one of his toughest ever decisions, but it was Manchin's family that gave him clarity to say on X, formerly Twitter,
I will not be running for re-election to the United States Senate.
He did say he believes America is not as divided as it appears to be, and that will become his mission once he leaves Washington.
Speaking out to see if there is an interest in creating a movement to mobilize the middle.
Manchin's decision will leave an open blue seat in a deep red state that Republican Governor Jim Justice is running for.
Fox's Grinnell Scott asked if this could pave the way for a presidential run. A former longtime Manchin spokesman says to be determined. No Labels, the group that's been working on a possible unity presidential ticket, calls Manchin a longtime ally and tireless voice for America's common sense majority. They plan a decision early next year about whether to nominate a ticket and who would be on it. Pausing and fighting can happen at the same time. Israel's prime minister making that clear.
The fighting continues against the Hamas enemy, the Hamas terrorists, but in specific locations for a given period of a few hours here, a few hours there, we want to facilitate a safe passage of civilians away from the zone of fighting. And we're doing that.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in an interview with Fox's Brett Baer airing tonight on Special Report at 6 Eastern. Earlier today, the White House announcing Israel would begin daily pauses of 4 hours, helping to allow more aid to Gaza and Palestinian civilians to move to safer areas. The Israeli military says pauses are localized. 4 more attacks targeting U.S. forces in the Middle East. That makes at least 46 since October 17th. The new attacks happened after a second round of U.S. airstrikes on Iranian targets in Syria. The Dow down 220 at the bell. America is listening to Fox News.
With the holidays upon us, the increase in traveling, shopping, and connecting online also heightens the need to protect your identity and finances with LifeLock. Identity thieves see this time of year as an opportunity to drain your accounts, open new loans in your name, and damage your financial future. LifeLock detects and alerts you to the threats you might miss on your own. Don't let the busy holiday season catch you off guard. Save up to 25% off your first year with promo code CLAY. LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
A security guard loses his job after leaving his gun in a school bathroom.
A private security guard hired to work inside a school in Allen, Texas, outside Dallas, is now fired for leaving a sidearm unattended in the faculty bathroom. No students ever saw it, but it was found by a teacher.
If there wasn't a threat present that warranted the gun to be removed from the holster, then I bring them in and they're dismissed at that point. That's just a policy we have.
Says Charles Hollis of L&P Global Security, hired by the Allen School District to comply with state laws mandating armed guards. The company has officers placed in 5 Texas school districts. Evan Brown, Fox News.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the U.S. has no desire to separate from China as she meets with her counterpart, the Chinese vice premier, hoping to make progress on many economic issues while also discussing national security, climate change, and more.
The 2 days of talks in San Francisco laying the groundwork ahead of an expected meeting between President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. Tensions between the nations growing this year when a Chinese surveillance balloon was spotted over sensitive U.S. airspace. But there's been a flurry of diplomatic activity to stabilize ties, the U.S. sending 4 cabinet officials to Beijing since the summer, including Yellen and Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. China's largest bank reportedly hit by a ransomware attack. The Financial Times reporting the cyber attack on Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, or ICBC, also reporting it disrupted the U.S. Treasury market. The U.S. Treasury Department says it's aware of a cybersecurity issue and in regular contact with key financial sector participants and regulators. Recapping the late sell-off on Wall Street, the Dow down 220, the Nasdaq down more than 100. The S&P snaps an 8-day winning streak. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
The again, everyone. Let's check weather for Eastern Toronto and Champaign-Urbana-Vicinity, and that cooling trend is underway. It'll bring temperatures down to more seasonal expectations over the next several days, but a fairly quiet setup with little, if any, organized precipitation anticipated. We'll get into another pattern reversal driven by this moderate to strong El Nino over the middle and late parts of next week and probably into and through about the Thanksgiving holiday itself, with a big warm-up on temperatures, maybe some record and near record-setting warmth, and the travel scene over the Thanksgiving holiday break looks to be wet and rainy and stormy around here. Snows to the north and west of us. Breezy, much cooler for the day today. Sunny, partly cloudy skies. High at about 57. The northwest wind at 12 to 22. Mostly cloudy, colder tonight, down to 37. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a bit cooler late in the day. The high at about 55 and dropping with a northwest wind. Mostly clear, 29 for tomorrow night. Weekend forecast, sunshine 51 on Saturday, 56 on Sunday, heading towards the upper 50s to near 60 Monday and Tuesday, into the low to mid 60s next Wednesday and Thursday. For Stevie J Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solier.
Have you ever wondered why you pay your bank to have a checking account with them? We do too. At Fisher National Bank, we offer free checking accounts that reward you to bank with us. Our Rewards Cash Back Checking offers 2.02% cash back on debit card purchases up to $500 monthly. No service fees or balance requirements needed to earn rewards. For a free checking account that pays you back, simply make 12 debit card purchases, receive electronic statements, and have one direct deposit within a monthly cycle. It's so simple. We bet you're doing most of these things already. With Rewards Cashback Checking, you have access to Reward Saver, which earns 4.07 annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000. Reward yourself with free Rewards Cashback Checking and Reward Saver, a few of the many ways Fisher National Bank invests in our customers. See monthly requirements at any branch or fishernational.com. Fisher National Bank. Exceptional communities, exceptional people. Member FDIC.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Garage for now, put it in the garage for now, put it in the garage for now, put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk, residential or commercial. Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com.
Two Men and a Truck.
He is 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign. Join us for the live broadcast after 3 p.m. on Friday, November 10th. Great guests ahead of Dad's Day, including Jay Lehman, McLean Stahl, and Hans D. with Who You Got. Eric Meyer has great drink specials from Coors and Miller Lite, Twisted Tea, Captain Morgan, and Bullet Rye and Bourbon. Terrific pub food like the Slugger Burger, Chicken Fingers, Loaded Nachos, and Fish on Fridays. Diane Ducey will be handing out tickets to the Illinois versus Indiana game Saturday the 11th at 2:30 with the flyover as a salute to our veterans. Pia's will have a fan bus leaving a half hour before tip-off as you head to the State Farm Center and enjoy watching the Illini men's basketball team play and then get dropped off and picked up in the front circle drive off First Street. Pia's Sports Bar always saying, go Illini! Win tickets to the Tuesday, November 14th, 7 p.m. game against Marquette. Pia's 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Fighting Illini football is back in Memorial Stadium for Dad's Day and Military Appreciation Day, Saturday, November 11th, as they take on the Indiana Hoosiers. Get tickets for as low as $20 as we celebrate dads for this proud Illinois tradition. All active military personnel are eligible to receive free tickets. Be in your seat early for a special military flyover. Illinois football versus Indiana, Saturday, November 11th. Get tickets and more info at fightingillini.com.
Saw and Light presents their Praise to Raise fundraiser on Thursday, November 9th at Vineyard Church from 7 to 9 p.m. Now is the time to move forward with your plans to support Saw and Light as they empower individuals with job skills while they earn access to food, clothing, and household goods. Making donations, shopping, and volunteering can make a big difference as we help transform lives and encourage each other. Get your tickets now and sponsor the Praise to Raise event with local churches and our community gathering at Vineyard Church on Thursday, November 9th.
The Champaign-Urbana Elks Lodge is teaming up with the Urbana Police Department Fraternal Order of Police Lodge 70 Shop with a Cop program. This year marks the ninth year that the Elks has asked for our community to support the goal of making area school children of financially burdened families have a warm coat, hat, gloves, and boots to stay warm. Drop off a donation at the Elks Lodge behind Old Orchard Bowling during business hours Tuesday through Sunday, 3 to 8 p.m. The CU Elks Monetary Drive will kick off on November 10th and continue through December 10th. Those wanting to make a donation may do so by mailing a check out to the CU Elks Lodge and mailing it to the Elks, 903 North Dunlap Avenue in Savoy, Illinois, 61874. Or they may drop off a donation at the Elks Lodge during business hours behind Old Orchard Bowling, Tuesday through Sunday, 3 to 8 p.m. For details on the coat drive and shop with a cop with CU Elks Club, visit their Facebook page.
And the streak continues, Kyle Toss.
Yes, it does.
As you noted in the text thread, it is the drive with Tatum Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Toss, Lante, load management, keeping the streak alive.
I was worried. Earlier this week, he said, he's like, I'm thinking I'll be here all 5 days this week. Sure enough, Thursday morning, you get the text in, and he's once again taking another day off. The streak continues. It's got to be like over 2 months at this point.
It's the opposite Cal Ripken streak.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
We'll see how long that thing lasts. I'm still saying, I noted, you know, I'm going to be gone New York early December, New Jersey, then New York, Tennessee the following weekend. We're going to need a full week of Lante.
That's solo a day. That, you do not want to hear that.
We shall see. We shall see. But enough playful jabs at Lante. We'll have him out there at Pia's tomorrow, which, by the way, come check us out. It's our final live show at Pia's of the football season. I'm not sure if we'll have anything scheduled as far as the basketball season goes. But in terms of what's on the books right now, that's our final live show out at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue. Great partner of our show. We have a lot of fun out there. If you've been out there this season, we appreciate all that have joined us. It's been a good time. We've had great crowds. And I think with the weather being colder, we'll probably be inside.
I don't think so. I think
we, no,
that's I think you guys might be outside.
Hey,
the rumor that I've heard.
Okay. That's fine. We can bundle up, make it a little bit of a...
It's not supposed to be that cold tomorrow.
No, it's not going to snow or anything. Like, we're tough. We're talking hard-nosed like Midwest people. Oh, okay. Then we're good. We're fine. We're good. But they did mention, I know talking to Eric Meyer and those people over there, that, hey, you know, maybe your final show will be indoors. I'm all cool with being out on the patio once again and come on out. Maybe just put the hoodie on and
56 and sunny.
Oh, we're good.
November.
Sorry.
You got to
embrace
that.
Sorry for me sounding soft. I'm not trying to dodge being outside. I look forward to it. Come check us out. We got great drink specials. Obviously food, you got an Illinois game to pregame for tomorrow in terms of the hoop side. And then, as always, which a really cool thing that Pia's does, we've mentioned this before, but the shuttle bus to go from Pia's to the game, they'll drop you off at the front door. They'll pick you up after the game, take you back to Pia's. It's a great accommodation that Pia's really offers. And we'll have some tickets to give away tomorrow as well for the Illinois and Oakland game. Let's talk about Illinois on the gridiron. Illinois versus Indiana, 11 a.m. on Saturday. Brett Bielema met with the media today to give his final thoughts on that matchup.
Also had a nice little interesting bite in there about Michigan that I think
you're going to want to hear. Yeah, you're going to want to hear that. I want to touch on that a little bit, maybe even in this first segment. Let's start with the biggest story and most impactful for Illinois going into this game against Indiana, which obviously means a ton for Illinois as they look at their final three-game stretch, a chance to be bowl eligible, a chance still, I think it's fair to still call it an outside chance, right, to win the West. Is that fair?
Very outside.
Yeah, okay, very outside. Very outside chance to win the West. You got to have some, you got to have Iowa take a loss or two. You're going to have some things happen for you to slot up that chart. But if Illinois were to win out, there is a that is something that's still possibly on the table for you. But of course, Illinois primarily just trying to handle their own business. If you can win seven games, ended up 7-5, and put yourself in a situation, even if you don't win the West, to go to a solid bowl game. It won't be, you know, maybe what people were hoping for going into the year, but that's still something they can accomplish. Indiana, on the other side, could, in their own right, become bowl eligible if they win out, and their schedule really isn't that challenging. They're at Illinois, they host Michigan State, and then they're at Purdue. So I know that they're thinking that
this might be the swing bowl eligibility game for both teams.
Very much could be. It very much could be. And I'm sure, you know, Tom Allen's coaching for his life there in Bloomington. And I don't know, maybe there are situations. We can remember back to Ron Zook, who made a bowl with six wins and still lost his job. Would that happen for Tom Allen if they won out? I don't know. But they're coming off a win against Wisconsin. They're playing better football. They were tied with about 3 minutes to go at Penn State the week prior. So we're going to break down that a little bit more. But let's get to it. Luke Altmyer, who we talked to on Monday, he mentioned that, you know, he got his bell rung there against Minnesota, and then John Paddock goes in, and the rest is history for that game. The story might not be over for John Paddock, because as of today, Brett Bielema says that Luke Altmyer still hasn't been cleared to practice. And, you know, the fact that we're 48 hours less than that from kicking off there here at Memorial Stadium, I would say that John Paddock, as of right now, is in line to be the starting quarterback. So what do you think about that, Kyle, and how much will you miss Luke Altmyer if he's not able to go?
Yeah, it's interesting, because if you asked me this question last week, let's say this was going into the Minnesota game, I would not be feeling great about it, to be quite honest. It's nothing against John Paddock, but before last week, him coming in and delivering that miraculous late drive, like, his first impression was in that Penn State game where he was very shaky. He's a guy that had some turnover issues in the MAC at Ball State. Like, it's a guy that they bring in for his, you know, just to bring a veteran into that quarterback room and as insurance in case Altmyer gets hurt, but it's not somebody that I would have felt great about. Now, I feel a lot better about him having seen what he did against Minnesota, because that legitimately was as impressive a drive as I've seen from a backup quarterback coming in cold. I mean, the 4th and 11, the poise to make that throw, step up, and then the throw on the 46-yard touchdown. I mean, that's a throw that I don't know if Luke Altmyer makes that play, to be honest with you. And so I think John Paddock, especially the caliber of opponent, like if you're telling me we were going to Iowa City to take on Iowa's defense and John Paddock was the starter, different story. I would be a lot more concerned about that. But I think this team should be fine with Paddock if he has to go against Indiana, who, again, they beat Wisconsin this last weekend. They have a lot to play for still, but it's a team that has one conference win. And up until last week when they pulled off kind of a stunner, they had looked horrendous. They had looked like the clear 14th best team out of 14 in the Big Ten. And I also think with Reggie Love getting healthy and with what Caden Fagan's been able to do, you should be able to run on them, take some pressure off Paddock. The defense has played a lot better here recently, especially when Johnny Newton has been on the field. I don't necessarily think he needs to give you a heroic follow-up that 85-yard drive with 300 yards and two touchdowns to win you this game. I think he can just be that veteran poised if he can keep the mistakes to a low. I know that's been an issue for him in the past, but if he can just try not to turn the football over, I think that's all you really need from him. But at the same time, I do think that it is still a step down from Luke Altmyer and what he's done. I think we shouldn't overlook what Luke has been able to do here the last few weeks. I think he's played really well. I think Luke has really started to settle himself in and was finding a rhythm. I know he threw that pick to Tyler Newbin there against Minnesota, but it felt to me like he was really starting to gain some comfort in this offense, and I was excited to see how that progressed, especially against a softer schedule here in November. So I don't want to minimize losing him, but I do think in this game particularly, you should be able to get it done regardless of who's going out there.
You'd hope so. And while everybody deserves to be just absolutely over the moon with what John Paddock showed in that game-saving drive, it was three throws. Like, they were three great throws, especially knowing the situation, knowing there's no chance to really settle in. It's not like, okay, we're going to go through a drive and he's going to have a little bit of jitters and maybe just the lack of timing with some receivers that he probably doesn't throw to a whole lot, especially in terms of practice, but had to rip one to Isaiah on 4th and 11 and then really let it air out on that perfect deep post that he just dropped in the basket there for that touchdown. And I'm sure that from a confidence standpoint, he's got to be riding high, and I'm sure that he has to love the opportunity to go out there, assuming that that is, as of right now, the plan for him to be your starting quarterback on Saturday, to build on that momentum and get a chance to as he's going through the final stages of his collegiate career, to have another chance to show that he can help this team and put them in a situation where they want to be down the stretch. A lot of fans, I think, I mean, it was hard not to, even though we've talked about it throughout the week. Luke Altmyer, for the most part, played pretty well against Minnesota. And on the whole, I mean, there's things for him to build on and reasons to feel good with his legs against Maryland. And he's gotten better over the course of the season for sure. But I know that fans, a lot of them, I mean, I was getting texts about it, and it was hard for me not to sit there and say, wouldn't it be nice to let John Paddock start against Indiana? Like, there's some people that wouldn't mind that. So the bottom line is, it's good to have a backup quarterback that you feel decent about, especially one that's coming off of playing well in that small sample size. Now, I admittedly, when I saw some people referencing the like 99.9 PFF ranking for John Paddock and the passer rating over 400, I didn't even know you could go over 400. That was like 100 and something was going to be the high. I know that it is in the NFL. Like, let's not go too far in terms of cherry picking analytics. Like, let's just call it what it is. He made three really, really good throws. It was a great drive, but like, that's talking about maybe a guy in one baseball game who goes 3 for 3 and hits 2 home runs. I'm like, man, look at his OPS. His OPS is 2,000 or whatever. Like, all right, that's true, but it to extrapolate the numbers a little bit too much can be a little misleading. But long story short, like, Indiana's defense isn't very good. They're 13th, I believe, in the Big Ten in scoring defense, giving up 28 a game. You mentioned in terms of your ability to run the football, they've given up the most rushing yards per game in the Big Ten, over 160 per game. They've allowed almost 4.5 yards a carry, which is the highest in the Big Ten as well. They've been better here of late. You look at the Wisconsin game. Now, it was the Wisconsin team without Braylon Allen, who had gotten hurt, and they're also missing Ches Malusi from an injury prior in the season. So Wisconsin down to their third string running back, and they run for 101 yards on 28 carries. That averages about 3.5 yards a carry. Penn State, who we know has a very good run game and a nice duo of backs and Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton, Penn State only ran for 3.1 yards per carry in that close game in State College between Indiana and Penn State 2 weeks ago, 132 yards on the ground. So they have been better in terms of stopping the run and probably making your quarterback make throws. It's good that Paddock has shown that he can do that and will be coming in with some confidence. Again, if that is the situation that Luke Altmyer is not going to be playing in, but there's no doubt. I think as the emotion maybe subsides a little bit from the Minnesota final drive, I think the most people would want Luke Altmyer out there because the sample size is bigger. The consistency is more there as far as what he's shown, and we'll see. My gut still says, kind of like you said, that Illinois should still win this football game, but I wouldn't sleep on Indiana. I wouldn't call it a shocking upset if Indiana came in here and won. So hopefully Illinois takes care of business. Their defense stands up and continues to play well, especially when Johnny Newton's been out there on the field, and that John Paddock can do enough with the offense to make sure it's a win.
Yeah, and I think to your point about Paddock and obviously being such a small sample size, I totally agree with that. At the same time, I do think that there's something about the context of the throws that he made in that game. Like, it showed a clear ability that he can do this at the Big Ten level, which mm-hmm. I had no idea if he could prior to that game. Because we saw him come in garbage time against Penn State, had a couple really brutal misses, did have a nice throw to Malik Elzey in that game. It's just hard to judge that garbage time situation for him. I had no idea if he had the ability to really stretch the field with this offense and make. I mean, that 46-yard throw, I mean, that's a throw that was really, really impressive. And it gives me a little more confidence that, okay, this guy can handle a Big Ten football game as your starting quarterback. I'm not saying that it's necessarily going to be that way against, you know, in a full game, or if you give him that responsibility over 30 throws instead of three, that it's going to have the same result. I just think that seeing that happen against Minnesota, like if that hadn't happened, let's say Luke got hurt in practice this week and he finished that Minnesota game, and all of a sudden you're like, all right, John Paddock starting, I would be a lot more inclined to be like, okay, I'm concerned about this. I think Indiana might win this game because I just have no idea what to expect from a guy who threw 13 interceptions as Ball State starter last year, and we just haven't seen him do it at this level. I think those three throws and just the context in which they were made and the difficulty, I feel a little bit better giving the football to John Paddock. But I do think still, even with that, as you were alluding to there, I think the strategy is going to be clear in this game. If Paddock's your starter, you are going to pound the football with Caden Fagan. Caden Fagan's probably getting 30 carries in this game. You might even mix in 10 for Reggie Love when he comes back. I don't think they're necessarily going to ask John Paddock to do a whole lot. And maybe, you know, there's some design little screens and get the ball in Isaiah Williams' hands without asking John to really make that same 46-yard bomb up the middle of the field that he did against Minnesota. I think it's probably going to be a situation where, even with what he showed in that Minnesota game, it's not – they're going to try to take as much off his shoulders as possible if he is the starter. But I still think you should be able to win this football game, even with all that said. I'm not going to take Indiana beating a Wisconsin team that has been about as inconsistent a football team as there's been in the Big Ten this year, last week, missing Braylon Allen and missing their starting quarterback and everything. This is a bad Indiana team.
Yeah.
You're welcoming them here to Champaign with a ton to play for. Coming back against Minnesota basically gave you every opportunity in the world to get to a bowl game. And like you said, the division title is still within your reach somehow. You need to beat this team. I don't think it should matter who starts at quarterback. You should win this game, and I'm pretty confident they can, even if John Paddock's the guy.
It definitely can, yeah. I think that – and if they're playing the football that they've played over the last handful of weeks now, when you even the collapse against Wisconsin, now we'll have to see if this is a close game late, how John Paddock's able to put them in position to close out a game. Can you get that – obviously he was able to do it last week, but – one of the concerns for Illinois, I think, lingering this year is that they've gone into some fourth quarters and not been able to get the scores to create some breathing room. So I do wonder about that. I think that on the flip side, we know this team's capable of also playing some bad football. They've done it, unfortunately. It's been a little while, which is great, outside of, you know, if you're going to just
play it. Horrendous quarter,
yes,
against Wisconsin.
But as far as a full game, if you go back to Nebraska, if you go back to Purdue, you hope that this team has grown and at least figured some things out to the point that is very much in the rearview mirror. But if you can lose to Purdue, a team that hasn't won since beating Illinois back in, what was that? Was that early October?
I was late September 30th, I think the last day of September.
Late September. I mean, Purdue hasn't won since then, and they've looked pretty poor. If you can lose in the way that you did to them, if you can lose to Nebraska like you did, like, you could obviously lose this football game. But I would hope that with the defensive improvements that we've seen, although the secondary is still gettable at times, and Indiana's gotten better quarterback play since moving on from Trace Jackson Davis's brother. They got Brendan Sorsby, who threw for three touchdowns against Penn State, 269 yards, three touchdowns. Didn't ask him to do a ton against Wisconsin. He had 186 yards, one touchdown. Hasn't really turned the ball over, which has been good for them. But back on the Illinois quarterback side, I do think that while John Paddock's season at Ball State on paper didn't look all that amazing. I do like that you have a quarterback that had that experience, at least, to be a starter for a year. So when you could go to him late against Minnesota, I think that allowed him to be a little bit more calm than if you would have thrown out there, you know, Donovan Leary, who hasn't gotten those reps. And in a similar circumstance, like, John Paddock knows what it's like to be the starting quarterback and prepare during the week as if you are the starter and all that goes into that. So I like that he's been there before. No, he hasn't been in there in a Big Ten game. But that experience does provide me, in addition to the three throws which he made, which, again, they were awesome. They were huge. They're the reason that we're sitting here talking about this being a big game versus you being 3-6 and having a pretty much having written off this team for the rest of the season. Let me ask you this, because, you know, we're in the media and we get to kind of do these hypotheticals, and I'm interested in what you think on the U of I line on the text line as well, 217-359-2255. Let's say that Luke Altmyer gets cleared, whether it be tomorrow, early Saturday morning. He has not practiced this week, but then he is cleared for the game. Would you go with Luke Altmyer, or would you go with John Paddock, who's been preparing all week as your starting quarterback?
I'd go with Luke. He's the guy to me. I think if he's healthy, and I think that what Brett said earlier today, and we can play it in a little bit, is he, you know, the question was directly asked, how comfortable would you feel? Let's say he gets cleared on Friday, and Brett, no hesitation, said, I'd feel very comfortable doing that. I trust now that we're 9 games in, and the way that Luke has progressed. And I really do think that Luke has played really well, other than obviously he still make, you know, the pick against Minnesota and some other decisions that he's made. You know, you can always nitpick one or two plays, but I think the whole body of work since that Nebraska game for Luke has been really positive. And if he's healthy, I want to continue to see that play out. And I think I do have a lot of trust in him, and the fact that he's been your starter for 9 games now, to go out there and perform. And I think he's probably still been in, while he hasn't been on the practice field. He's from talking to him on the show and everything like that, he's a guy that is going to be prepared and has done a lot of work. I can, you know, you can imagine preparing for Indiana and what he's going to see. So I don't necessarily know how important it is that he steps foot on the practice field this week. I think at this point in the season, he's earned that trust to say, we can put you out there without being on the practice field, because I think I've liked what I've seen from him here recently, and I want to see him build off that momentum.
Scott on the U of I line, like, text line says, start Luke and give him a half in that situation, which I could see that if that were to arise as far as him getting cleared. And you could always put John Paddock in as in relief of him if he's not sharp, if that's going to happen. I don't know it. And I don't want to speculate too much, but you do wonder, you know, as far as Luke getting his bell rung and the fact that he hasn't been cleared. I know that Brett Bielema hasn't come out and said it, but he's probably been in concussion protocol, I would imagine. Like, that's,
yeah,
that seems to be
they've kind of danced around it, yeah, as best they could. But I mean, we saw the replay of that. His head snapped back there, and you know, he walked up, he got up, and he walked into the huddle. You could see on Big Ten Network last week, like, it's not like he hurt his knee. I mean, we know what happened.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is the other equation to it, is knowing the type of injury that it was. Does that play a factor?
Right.
And it
right.
might.
Yeah. And we'll see as far as what that process is like. I don't know exactly what the protocol is or what the different steps are for him to be able to get an opportunity to get cleared, or how realistic that would be at this stage of the week. The fact that he hasn't, of course, I don't think anybody's going to know all the details outside of that Smith Center right now, in terms of where he's at with the medical team and what he's been able to show them. Obviously he hasn't shown enough to be able to get out there on the practice field. And that is an injury that you want to be very careful with. So I think that's going to be interesting to monitor. But as of right now, it does seem that if we were to call it today, John Paddock more likely than not going to be the starter against the Hoosiers on Saturday. If there's new news, I don't know that we probably will hear anything. I think probably the next evaluation point or telltale sign will be warm-ups against Indiana on Saturday morning.
They got to now, which is great, they released the availability report like 2 hours before. Mm-hmm. Although I was expecting that that would be kind of like the NFL where it's like active, inactive. But now, like half the time this year, they release the availability report and it's like Keith Randolph questionable. So they give you no update. It's just, well, he's questionable. So I don't know. That's probably what will happen. You probably won't know until 11 a.m. and yeah. the offense walks onto the field on Saturday.
I know in the NFL, isn't it an hour before they got to give the official
hour active, and a half, before 90 minutes before kickoff, actives. They give actives and inactives. And I was excited when they said, and they're doing it in basketball too, in the Big Ten, where they're making teams release their availability report, quote-unquote availability report, because is it really when you list a guy as questionable 2 hours before
no,
the game?
Yeah, it doesn't help us anybody.
Doesn't help anybody. I mean, whatever. That's just a small complaint I have. They've done it like 10 times this year where you look at the availability report and they list like three guys as questionable. Well, yeah, we've known all week that they're questionable. Are they in or out? You know. You can't tell me they don't know 2 hours before kickoff who's going to actually play.
I mean, they know.
They absolutely know. So put it on that's the whole point of the Big Ten trying to make you give the availability report. Indiana's not going to beat you because you say that Luke Altmaier's going to play two hours before kickoff. It's just not. No, they're not.
I wouldn't think so. But you try to get any advantage you possibly can. And there is a little bit of a difference in terms of running ability, obviously, with Luke versus John Paddock. So I know that Tom Allen came out and said that they're preparing as if Luke Altmaier is going to play. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know.
Has a coach ever said, we're preparing as if that guy's not going to play? Never.
It's true. So we'll see how that plays out. Obviously, as we go into Saturday, a big game for Illinois football, trying to get back to 500 and put themselves in a position to be bowl eligible going forward into the final two games that would follow. So we will hear from Brett Bielema. Let's do that maybe even next, because I want to get his comments, especially out there. I want him to be the one to comment on the Michigan thing, and then we can kind of dive into what he said about it and just the ongoing saga. It's exhausting, Kyle. It's exhausting, and it's annoying to sit here and see Michigan, where it's all done through like now media sourcing and Michigan reporters, which they're doing their jobs. I get it. But we know where they're getting their info from as far as them saying, oh, Michigan has obtained proof that their signs were actually stolen and Rutgers, Ohio State were passing around the Big Ten. Like, this is ridiculous. Their argument for
every
why
day
they
there's
should,
a new Michigan. Like,
yeah.
No, don't look at us here. Exactly. Look at these other teams that are actually you should be looking at, not ours that have been all this proof is out there.
Instead, unbelievable.
Take a look at Rutgers, who is sharing our signs with Ohio State. Please look at Rutgers instead.
And now, I mean, just the idea that they're like, there have been two separate point the finger at Ohio States, which I appreciate some of the rivalry aspect of that. But it's, I mean, come on. When you're like, okay, yeah, we cheated, but Ohio State has Ryan Day's brother private investigating this thing and, oh, by the way, they also had our signs, and they were sharing them with people. Like, just own what you did. I know they're trying to weasel their way out of this, like every other team that gets under investigation and hopes that the NCAA cowers, and which they probably will, and the Big Ten doesn't get in their way of a fast track to having an opportunity to go to the playoff for a third straight year. They still got it. Michigan hasn't played a meaningful football game all season. That's the other interesting part of it, is that they're about to play Penn State. They're about to play Ohio State in a few weeks, and then we'll actually figure this thing out. Have they looked dominant? Yes. Are they a really good team? Yes. But anyways, we'll talk more about that.
Did you see, by the way, the Ryan Walters, Jim Harbaugh little handshake exchange after the – I can't wait to see the Ryan Day, Jim Harbaugh exchange. Before that Michigan-Ohio State game.
Jim Harbaugh's not suspended by then.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. We all know that. Haven't we heard for the last 2 weeks, well, I think the punishment's coming soon. No, it's coming after the season, after Michigan. Well, we'll wait until, you know, Michigan brings the Big Ten in more millions of dollars and goes to the college football playoff and represents the Big Ten, and then we'll worry about the punishment.
Is it dumb for me? And we're doing a Pipes and Lante opening segment. We're going until 3:40. But is it dumb for me to, as a Bears fan, be so just rubbed the wrong way by this thing with Michigan that I'm affecting how I think about Jim Harbaugh being the Bears head coach?
No, it's not, because don't you ultimately want to like really like your head coach and the guy that you're hiring? And it's just really hard to have a whole lot of respect and admiration for Jim Harbaugh right about now.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. If it took cheating and bending the rules for the Bears to win, sure. I'd be all for it. Do anything.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if you think that the guy you're hiring is going to win you football games, who cares? I mean, yeah, you're not going to care. But at the end, I get it. Like, if my team was hiring Jim Harbaugh right now, I'd be like, well, I don't really like Jim Harbaugh, so I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah. Let me know on the text line. We got a lot of Bears fans out there. I'm sure a lot of Bears fans not excited about Amazon Prime Bears Panthers tonight. No Justin Fields. Well, wait, he's doubtful. No, actually, he's out. Our coach
buffoon. I almost want to play that. That was one of the worst things I've ever heard.
Buffoon, man. This is just ridiculous.
I wasn't sure if he actually knew the English language for a couple of his answers.
The fact that you can put him in a press conference wall of shame with Tim Beckman and have it be legit is it's saying a lot. And I just want to give a monster shout out to Bill Polian for his recommendations and for whatever ungodly reason that we thought he'd be a good person to consult about who should be our head coach. Anyways,
we need a break.
We need a break. Brett Bielema will play some of his comments. Brad Underwood met with the media today to talk about Illinois versus Oakland coming up tomorrow. We can talk some about that. Maybe Kyle and I, before the end of the show, can kind of go over the first results across the Big Ten in terms of basketball and just give some quick thoughts on what we saw from some of those other games. Indiana, Florida Gulf Coast was the other night. And we can, as we go through it, just kind of give those quick hits. But we do have to catch a break because we've gone long. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. This is The Drive.
Illini fans, take the opportunity to head down to Game Day Spirits Green Street location, shop their awesome selection of Fighting Illini merchandise. While you're there, shop some of their awesome buy one, get one free t-shirt designs, as well as their Nike section and so much more. With new styles coming in daily, there's sure to be something for every Illini fan. Shop them at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town. Game Day Spirit, Illini fans, shop.
Fighting Illini football is back in Memorial Stadium for Dad's Day and Military Appreciation Day, Saturday, November 11th, as they take on the Indiana Hoosiers. Get tickets for as low as $20 as we celebrate dads for this proud Illinois tradition. All active military personnel are eligible to receive free tickets. Be in your seat early for a special military flyover. Illinois football versus Indiana, Saturday, November 11th. Get tickets and more info at fightingillini.com.
The hammering, the sawing, the drilling, all the sounds of the workplace are music to our ears. You can be a part of construction projects, large and small, as a Carpenters Local 243 member. Learn to excel with apprentice and journeyman training. Members enjoy all the benefits this internationally recognized union has to offer. It's a life-changing decision. Join the Local 243 family tradition. Contact Carpenters Local 243 at 217-356-5463.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Dwayne Linton, a nationally certified nurse in the emergency department at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I work with a team of people who really care about what they do and are very flexible and adaptive in rapidly changing critical situations, and I would trust any of them at any time.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Dwayne in a supportive environment, visit carl.org/careers.
Kelsey Furniture and what's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, the Brian Hansen State Farm agency right here in Champaign-Urbana can switch you over and you can start saving today. Our team is ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. With the Brian Hansen State Farm agency, it's easy to switch and save. Just give our team a call at 217-344-1900 when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
When you buy from us, get the whole store.
From computer systems to brakes and tires too, at PDR, fixing cars is what they do. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 or use their dedicated text-only line at 383-0619. Additional information, including repair quotes and online scheduling requests, available from the website at pdrauto.com. Remember, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Saturday, November 18th for one night only at the Virginia Theater. Come out to the red carpet world movie premiere of the family-friendly comedy Irresponsible, starring Keith Campton. Parts of the movie filmed right here in our town and features dozens of local actors. Come and meet all the stars of the movie and ask questions, get pictures, and free autographs. Doors open at 6 p.m., showtime at 7. Virginia Theater, November 18th. For more information, go to thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org.
Illini fans, taste what's special about Jet's Pizza by ordering any of their specialty pizzas for $5 off. That's right, save $5 on all specialty pizzas like the barbecue chicken pizza, chicken grilled to perfection, premium mozzarella cheese, bacon, red onion, and BBQ sauce. All piled onto Jet's amazing crust made from dough they make fresh every day. There's also their super special all-meaty chicken bacon ranch and more, all $5 off. Make your day special and order a Jet's specialty pizza for $5 off.
Thursday game week, beautiful day out there, and hope we'll get a great crowd on Saturday. Obviously, 11 o'clock kickoff, and on Memorial Day, or I'm sorry, on Veterans Day, 11th day of the 11th month, at 11th hour to kick off. I think that's kind of a cool little thing in Memorial Stadium. We'll do some things to honor that that'll get released over here in the next 24, 48 hours as far as our team. From a health standpoint, Reggie went all this week, and I know a week ago at this time I said the same thing, but I'm fully confident he's going to play. Everything was really good on the day after. Him and Keith both, when you have an ankle issue, right, like when you practice, sometimes it goes well while you practice. The next night can lead to a little different action, and both those guys were really strong here today after having a full week of practice. So excited for those guys. I think that group in particular, the D-line and the running backs, have, you know, been through a lot of ups and downs, the D-line especially with the suspension of Johnny last week, that a lot of new faces popped up, Bryce Barnes in particular, and then the running back room. What those guys have done has just been awesome. Give a lot of credit to the coaches and the players there. You know, from a perspective of the game against Indiana, like last year, this is a game that, you know, we played them early in the season. Now to play them at the back end when they've got not nine games behind them as well, they're a 3-6 team, looking for every opportunity to get on the board. Played a scrappy game last week against Wisconsin, so I know we're going to get a really tough game on Saturday. Excited to get out there. So without opening question.
How much does what Indiana did in the beginning of the season inform now, given that they've kind of changed?
Yeah. You know, during their bye week, they had to transition and change the offensive coordinator. I've known Coach Carey for a long time. You can definitely see there's a lot of things that have changed, but also very, very true to what they are. Have a lot of respect for Coach Allen, and I think the way they play the game is his personality. I thought that a year ago, and then now to see it 9 games into this year, you see some playmakers emerge, and there are changes, but there's also a lot of similarities as well through the whole year.
Has Luke been able to practice?
Yeah, Luke, Monday, you know, there's some things that kicked in right after the game. Tuesday, we were hopeful that he was going to get involved a little bit on Wednesday, but that got pushed back, so he hasn't officially been cleared, but kind of planning that way. I feel that everything's going to come through. The neat thing about playing these back half of the game, for us, for as a home game, you can only travel 74 to a road game, right? So to play at home, all freshmen, everybody's open, right? So had different guys popping in there, giving a series of quarterbacks. Obviously, John has had a really good week. He's had really good fall camp to where we are today, even though you guys just saw him for the most part in the live situation. I think the way our guys responded because of the way he's kind of played all fall.
So does Luke need like practice? Like if he got cleared, say, on Friday, would you be comfortable?
I would. I think 9 games into it, I think just because of who he is and what he's able to accomplish. You know, but the quarterback position's unique, right? Like, you know, we've even dabbled with Cal Swanson, who brings a different skill set, right, than everybody else. Like, he's got nothing to lose. We pop him out there as a redshirt as a freshman. Because he's got a different skill set, really, than those other guys, right? So at the quarterback position, between Cal, John, obviously Donovan, and Luke, if he gets in there, right, those are kind of all different quarterbacks to prepare for.
How does it change with Reggie if he's back in that running back rotation?
Well, I think Caden would be the guy, and I think Reggie just coming back from where he is. He's been gone, 5 weeks? I don't think he's ready for a 50-play game, you know, but I think he's ready for a 20, 30-play game and how many ever carries that plays out. And Reggie, even during his entire time here before the angle, he's a very good situational back. He's very aware, very intelligent. He's played a lot of football. He's always just kind of come in and made a play happen. So I think him and Caden would take the bulk load of what it is, and we'll kind of figure the rest of it out.
You haven't maybe had that combo really correct this season. Just what was that, what do you like maybe about the two of those playing off each other?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a the way the game started at the beginning of the year with Reggie and Josh, right? And then you lost Josh out of there and then obviously lost Reggie at the time. To have Caden playing the way he is now is a pretty secured early down back. There's some things he's got to continue to go, but Reggie with the experience he has, I think it gives you a little bit more of a complete tandem. Really, in my entire career, it's never been really Chase last year was kind of a featured back, I would say, you know, compared to those other two, but I've always kind of had two guys, and a lot of times they were not opposites but different types, and I think the combination of those two together give us kind of a little different feel, Reggie to Caden, and obviously sub a back in a different back on third.
Have you gotten, like, I would assume you've gotten a lot out of Robbie on special teams this year?
Hoped.
And you know, the opening kickoff last Saturday kind of proves what's going on there.
You know, one of our goals last week was to run the ball, stop the run, and cover kicks. And then literally, but Ryan Mead especially, you know, Dish in that regards, Dish didn't know anything about Ryan Mead taking his job, right? And the way Ryan Mead has been able to grow his role this year as a special teams player, just awesome to watch, see it unfold. He made that happen. I think on the point of attack last week on that kickoff coverage, you had literally like 2 or 3 non-scholarship players that were making big plays there and making some things happen. So I've been very happy with Dish, both as a tight ends coach and a special teams coach, and obviously the way we've been able to handle special teams overall. Kind of had the one blunder, a couple blunders against Penn State, and I know no one took that harder than him. And since then, like it literally, even like this morning's meeting, I have the first meeting of the day at 7, and Dish always follows me, and his meeting this morning was just outstanding. I just think he brings so much to the room as a teacher.
It seems like Seth Coleman, light kind of switched on for him the last few weeks.
Yeah.
What's been different for him?
You know, Seth is big, long, athletic, intelligent, twitchy. I really thought coming in this year he'd be, you know, somebody that really, you know, did kind of what he's done here the last couple games. Hopefully it's a sign of more to come. I think he's, last year it was the first year really on the immersion onto the scene, and then he had the one game he missed, like a game and a half with a concussion, but kind of came on strong. This fall he's kind of had a couple – nothing that's kept him out of the game, but he's had a couple of injuries, I think, that affected him during the course of the week and on game day, and finally getting those things healed up. So I'd really love for him to continue to grow through the last three games, see where it goes.
Brett, I know you said you're just focused on Indiana, but when we talked to your veterans after the game on Saturday, they talked about how November is the time you want you guys to play your best. And last year it didn't so much happen, and there was talk about usually in November we play our best football.
Yeah.
Like, is that, have you seen that kind of flip right now, that is the calendar flip?
You know, I was taking perspectives, right? Like, before I got here, I think anybody that played against me, especially in this league, I'd always had a strong finish in November, and it's something I've really played on. And in our first year being here, you know, we finished up 5-7, but I think anybody at the end of the year would not have wanted to play us, right? And then last year, we came out of that bye week, beat Nebraska, get to 7-1, and then we had two hiccups against Michigan State and Purdue, which were tough. Go to Michigan and play our tail off. It's a one-play game, which now everything you know makes everything interesting, right? And then to play the way we did against Northwestern. And then I think the bowl game, in that moment, right, like to lose the guys that we lost because they weren't playing. We did play well, but obviously the numbers didn't reflect it. So there's been a huge influence. And then like this year, just to be full transparency, with four games left, I gave them a November calendar with every day of the week, whether it's going to be prep or an off day on Monday where they got overtime, game days on Saturday. And I hope they're just marking off that calendar day by day, because that's what we're doing as coaches.
You brought up the Michigan thing, so I'll ask about it.
I indirectly brought it up.
I know, but you brought it up. Have you looked back at that game and thought, wow, that was kind of hinky, or that was kind of weird? They happen to know exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. Obviously, we don't play them this year, so right. I haven't really. Just get so consumed where you're at. But listen, when the point in time comes where I can say something, I'll have a lot to say. I went in this conference, I played in this conference, I coached in this conference at two different schools.
Sure.
I remember being in this league as a head coach at another place where I literally got a call from a coach the day after we played him. They called our people during the course of the game. It was Fitz at Northwestern. We were in a home contest there, and he called me and said, yesterday we had a chance that your signals were coming over our headsets.
Oh, wow.
He told his people to put them down, change the channel, and competed in the game, right? And
okay.
I thought the highest moment of integrity, here's a moment, right? And what's being discussed said, I don't really know anything more than what I know. It's kind of, I said this a couple weeks ago, these stories are always so much better when you're not in it, because we don't obviously play them. But, you know, in 1992, when I became a GA, I remember my mission in 1992 was to find out when they signaled personnel to go on the field.
Yeah.
So that's how I started as a young assistant GA. And you gather information every week that way, which is totally legal, right? Like, we got buddies that play at other teams or conferences, right? But if something was going on off campus, like it's been noted, right, that they were at our games before we played that game last year, that opens up a whole, that's sickening. It's disgusting, right? But I'll let them figure that part out. And I think as coaches, we just got to hold the integrity of the league. Just everybody's got to feel that everybody's playing by the same rules and kind of go forward from there. So I don't got much more than that. I'm really just kind of focused on Indiana, but it's oblivious that everybody's going to be talking about
it. Keep asking.
So. Yeah, I got you.
Can I ask about, like, there was a metric that got to like 20 miles per hour on that run. Deceptively fast, I think. Like, what kind of speed
does he have? I appreciate the question, but really, when we watched him play first, right, when I watched his film, I do this thing that you count their strides every 5 yards, right? And there was a film where he was, and I kind of calculated what I thought his 40 would, just by watching film over the last, you know, 15, 20 years. And then we got a chance to be around him live in the games. His senior year in film, there was a couple times where he was able to get out in front and break stride. And once we got him here, he was kind of not healthy in the spring. But this fall, there was a play when he took off, and everybody's just kind of looking around. So I knew what was coming. I think everybody else on the team probably knew. And then Minnesota, when they were pulling away and they kind of took some bad angles, everybody just kind of eased up. They knew they weren't going to catch them. I think to see someone that big run that well, and hopefully it's just the beginning of many more.
That is Brett Bielema, your Illini head coach. He does mention there about the Michigan allegations and the idea that, I thought he brought up a good story in terms of Pat Fitzgerald and what that was like with a guy that, of course, Pat had his issues, or was there were issues within the Northwestern program that ultimately led to his firing. But just the idea that, hey, it was a free shot for Northwestern to steal all of Wisconsin's calls, but they're like, no, that's not the right thing to do. That's not the right way. But obviously, Michigan is in a different category. And I just genuinely wish that all these coaches could come out without repercussion, without worry of what Michigan's going to think or whatever, whatever, and just say how they really feel about this thing. Because Brett kind of gave you a sample of it. He said it's disgusting, it's ridiculous.
Yep.
And it is. And that's where, with me, Kyle, is like, the evidence out there is so blatant right now with the ticket purchases from Stallions and just like the shots of him on the sidelines, the shots of him at the Central Michigan game in a Central Michigan hat, just trying to masquerade as a staffer on that for that program. Like, if Michigan truly does have evidence that their signs were stolen and passed around, show it. Let us all see it, because we can see what they did. That's all very, very clear to see. Let's see what Michigan really has, if that's what's going on. Otherwise, it's just talk to try to divert attention. It's so annoying, and I'm getting sick of this story, unfortunately, because it's an interesting thing to talk about, but I'm fed up with it as far as Michigan goes, and they just need to take what's coming to them.
I'm totally with you, and yeah, it is. It just makes it that much worse when every day you see a new, like, oh, nope, Michigan's deflecting and saying that Purdue and Rutgers and Ohio State were sharing their signals. And, oh, wait, why don't you look and see Ohio State illegally accessed their whatever to try and expose them? Like, the deniability, there's none left. So just own up to it. Someone come out and say, yeah, obviously they fired Connor Stallions. Whoa, nice work there. That solves it. Connor Stallions is fired. We're good now. No. Come out and give us something from the president, the AD, Harbaugh, anybody. Tell us something that shows any sign of remorse or accountability towards what we can all clearly see happened. That's all I'm asking for. It's not going to happen. So if it doesn't happen, I would love if the NCAA or Big Ten stepped in and handed down some type of penalty. That also, I know, probably won't happen until the season's over. So I'm just exhausted seeing this back and forth.
It's going to be, yeah, because if it's beyond a 2-game suspension, it's going to be a legal battle. Even if they did suspend Harbaugh 2 games, they probably would get in some kind of legal thing with Michigan. Not to say that they couldn't. I think you could very much justify it. But at this point, I think America, especially Big Ten fans who aren't Michigan fans, are just going to hope that they lose. They hope they lose to Penn State. Yep. Hope they lose to Ohio State. I've been one that usually when Ohio State and Michigan get together, especially when Ohio State was on that run of beating them, I would pull for Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines.
I did. The last 2 years, I did.
But that's going to change. So if you want to weigh in, you can. We're due for a break. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. We can talk more college football, but I do want to hit on some Illini basketball next hour, as well as what's happened in the Big Ten in terms of basketball before we get out of here. Stick with us. This is The Drive.